Zaphenath Paneah. I know that some of you are familiar with that name. But to get us into the lesson and deeper lesson about Zaphenath Paneah, I would like to maybe ask a question. If all of you, do you all know who we will be talking about? Some of you? Let's look at what it means. We know it's not English, we know it's not Polish, obviously, but this name was given to one of very noble men. And what that name means, there is no exact point, pinpoint, or exact translation of that name. There is a few, I choose three. And that maybe will help you to recall who will be talking about. Zaphenath Paneah, revealer of hidden things, healer of the world, and some translate as the savior of the world. So who will be talking about? I heard actually two names here from this side. I heard Joseph. On this side, I heard Jesus. Well, I have a good news for you. You are both correct. That's our subject and subtitle of our discourse today. I put Zaphenath Paneah, Joseph, as a picture of our Lord and his times. We'll be looking at history of Joseph, which once we will think about, this history is not very often mentioned out of the podium. It's more often out of the Sunday school because it's very good for teaching the children, but there's a lot of very good lessons and very deep lessons, which I think we should reach to those lessons from time to time about even those so-called simple things like Noah, Abraham, Jacob, or about Zaphenath Paneah. Who was Joseph? Joseph, he was son of Jacob and Rachel. And we remember how was it during those days. Jacob came to Laban and he saw that beautiful lady, beautiful girl. And it's not like nowadays. He had to serve to get married with her. Once we were talking about this history with my wife, she asked me, how many years would you serve for me? Well, I replied, you know, we live in the different times. But certainly there has to be a big love between the Jacob and Rachel. Then he was able to serve so many years. And Joseph was born once Jacob was still at Laban's grounds. It's Genesis 3 chapter and 24th verse. And we'll be quoting just verses, so if you would like to take notes for your reference, we will be quoting just a few of those. And brethren, once Jacob was serving Laban, you remember that amazingly, Laban was doing very good and very well. His flock was getting bigger and Lord was blessing him and his household. The next point where we were going to stop was when Jacob was old. And Jacob loved Joseph very much. We read about it in Genesis 37 chapter third and fourth verse. Now Israel, which was Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varicolored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than he all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly ground. Brethren, Joseph got beautiful garment, and he was hated by his own brothers. And once we all know the story from Sunday schools, we know what that feeling of his brothers led into. They almost killed Joseph. That hate, which was in his heart, led to the wish to kill him. And thanks for the Lord, Reuben says, no, well, let's put him to the well, which was practically equal with killing. Doesn't sound familiar? Our Lord, do you remember what kind of garments he had? We don't have much mentioned about his garment, about his robe. But do you recall once our Lord was crucified? They didn't want to tear that robe apart. It was too nice, it was too beautiful, too valuable to tear it apart. So they just tried to see who can get his robe. That's one of the similarities between Joseph and our Lord. Wearing this kind of expensive robe, it is certainly drawing attention of all others. It must be somebody. If we, even nowadays, if you look, somebody is nicely dressed, we are gaining a little bit of attention, and we know that this might be somebody who is doing good things or who is in some ways noble. Our Joseph was loved because of his character as well. But why he was so hated by his brothers? We look at Genesis 37 chapter and second verse. And Joseph brought the evil report of them unto their father. He was talking about evil things of his brother to his father. Isn't that a good thing? Well, it all depends from which standpoint we look at it. If we look from the side of his brothers who are doing really evil things, well, they had all the right to hate him because they were doing evil things and he was telling it to his father. But let's put ourselves in a Jacob position. He was sending Joseph to see what's going on with his sons, and he wants to know truth. And Joseph was bringing this truth to him. Those Joseph's brothers, they hate him so much that they want to kill him. They put him into the well. Our Lord was crucified because he was saying and revealing the truth. As Joseph was rejected by his brothers, they couldn't speak to him on the friendly matters. Our Lord was rejected by his own, as we read in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. Brethren, there is another scripture in Genesis 37:13, which we read. And this is about the special character of Joseph. His father is sending Joseph to his brothers. And it was kind of far away. It was a long way where Joseph had to walk by himself. It's a distance roughly like from Vernon to Kamloops, so about 50 miles, 80 kilometers, going by foot. No GPS, no cars, nothing, and it was very dangerous during those days. And what Joseph replied? Let's read Genesis 37:13. And Israel said unto Joseph, are not thy brethren feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And what Joseph replied? It's far. Give me some more guard. Oh, you know, I don't know. It's really, they don't really like me. And you know what Joseph replied? It's in the same verse. And Joseph said to him, here am I. Here am I. Do you remember those words? Let's turn into Isaiah 6 chapter and 8 verse. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Obedience of our Lord. Our Lord was ready to fulfill his father's mission. And we could think about Joseph and his brothers. Do you recall how old was Joseph during that time, once he was going that far? He was 17 years old. And parents who have a 17 years old, we can actually feel for them how many worries we can have. Young boy going that far by himself, yet he was ready to go. He was obedient to his father. He was obedient to his parent. And the good learning from that is for us and for our young ones. Do we remember what is the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother. There was no commandments during that time. And yet, Joseph was obedient. Our Lord also was obedient, even once he was on the earth as a little boy. And we read that in Luke 2nd chapter and 51st verse. And he went down then and came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them, and his mother kept all this saying at his heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. That's the story. Once Jesus was in the temple, being 12 years old, and parents were worrying about it, and they came to him. And we have a note from Luke 2nd chapter that he returned to them and he was obedient to them. What a great lesson to all of us. Brethren, we know what happened once Joseph came to the brothers. They didn't receive him nice and well. As we mentioned, he was rejected. But what happened to him? He ended up underground, in well. Then we read in Genesis 37:28 about what happened to Joseph later. Midianites pull him out. And what, return him freedom? No. They sold him. Let's read Genesis 37:28. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Let's compare. Matthew 27:9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was prized. That was another similarity of our Lord. He was also sold. he was also sold with the same currency, pieces of silver. But what happened? Joseph was sold for how much? 20. And our Lord, 30. Why? Well, there is a certain point of time. Maybe price goes up. Well, here is an explanation of that. Joseph, once he was sold, he was about 17, 18 years old. Our Lord was 30. And young man was not at the full price at that time, while our Lord was at the age of 30 considered a man in the full age. What happened then to Joseph? Joseph ended up in jail and was able to reveal the dreams. In Genesis 39 chapter, we are reading about all those events. But there is something really interesting about Joseph. Wherever he goes, he was gaining trust. He was kind to all, even those who were not kind to him. It happened after he was able to get out of jail that he gained a trust of Potiphar to maintain all his good. Potiphar was a man which was on the hierarchy very high, very close to Pharaoh, and he was really busy. And whatever he was doing, it was blessed. The Potiphar saw the value at Joseph, and he gave him to manage all his goods. But we know the story, what happened later. The story of Potiphar's wife. Once Potiphar was away, because that was the nature of his job, he has to go away and take care of the Pharaoh's things. Then Potiphar's wife, seeing Joseph, she was inclined to sin. And brethren, what was the answer of Joseph? He didn't want to sin against his good man, against Potiphar. He didn't want to do it for him. But we also have a scripture that he said that he didn't want to sin against God. He remembered what his father and his household was believing in, and he knew what is right, what is not. And what happened to him? It cost him a jail. It was easy. He could really easy had an easy life, but he had his principles he was going along in his life. And that cost him a prison. Brethren, again, what happened in that prison? We read in Genesis 39, chapter 22 and 23. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Jehovah was with him, and that which he did, Jehovah made it prosper. Brethren, even in the jail, whatever he did, I think it was really the toughest management of Joseph's life, because he was dealing with people in jail. But once the jailkeeper saw it, no problem. Joseph was taking care of everything, and everything was aligning, even in the prison. Whatever he was doing and wherever he was going, Lord was blessing him. I think it was part of because Joseph was really learning Lord's will and was well raised by Jacob. Brethren, Joseph was wise. Thanks to the Lord, he could explain dreams. He was really well educated. He was able to foresee a future of big country, which is Egypt. And we know what happened. Once Pharaoh has a dream that there will be 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of poverty. And what Joseph did? Once he explained those dreams, Pharaoh said, okay, well, so if you are that smart, we will put you as somebody who is responsible for all Egypt. There will be nobody on the higher position than you except me. And what he did? He didn't only explain the dream which our God had revealed to him, but he also knew how to prevent it, how to survive. And he said that every fifth part of food or goods will be given back to the Pharaoh. It's Genesis 40, first chapter 33 to 37. First part of Joseph's life was suffering, lots of suffering. Second was made like a king ruling to save Egypt. Only Pharaoh was above him. Doesn't sound similar like our Lord and the millennial age? Brethren, we know the story about Joseph and how he saved also his brothers. He was very merciful to him, to them. Genesis 41 and 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God had made forget all my toil and my father's house. First son, born with Egyptian woman, he called him Manasseh, for God had made forget all my toil and all my father's house. Doesn't sound something like not right? All of a sudden, Joseph is on the high position, well prospered, and he wants to forget his house? Brethren, I think we knew why. Imagine if Joseph will go back and send messenger to Jacob and says, no, I'm alive now. Well, Jacob was older man and it would be tough for him, but Jacob would have to do something with his sons, which lied to him. He knew that if he will go with that message to him, then it would cause big trouble to his brothers, father, and whole family. He decided to forget about it. And we know that Joseph preserved his faith, being 20 years in Egypt, having an Egyptian wife, between those who did not know God. What a great example for us living in this world. Brethren, let's move forward. What happened to the brothers once there was a hunger? Jacob says, go to Egypt. They have food. I know they have food. We don't have food. Go to them and buy some food. They didn't even have in their wildest dream in their minds that Joseph will be in front of them. And what he did? Finally, there is a time for revenge. Now we are talking, right? I will show you what does it mean. You sold me, you hate me, now I'm in the power. That's what he did? No. He was forgiving and he loved them. He gave them food. Brethren, this story is so huge that probably I will run out of the battery of my little laptop here to talk about all details. This is a beautiful story. But let's keep in mind this. What was in the heart of Joseph? He was hated by his brother. He was sold by them. He suffered in jail at least twice, what we learn. And he saved his brothers. He didn't put in his heart a revenge. It's a big lesson for us. Brethren, Joseph went so far in the hierarchy because he learned in his youth days how to manage business, nowadays would say, and qualities of life like be honorable, speaking truth, responsible towards God and people. We read in the 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provideth not for his own, and especially his own household, he hath denied faith and is worse than unbeliever." Brethren, it's a lesson for us. For us parents, how to raise children with the Lord and His law, and put in our children's qualities which will help them out in their lives. We don't know what lies ahead, but we have time now, and we can raise and we can help each other to put those qualities in our heart, pointing what is the most important in our lives. Joseph, being a teenager, he got into the very tough and difficult circumstances. He knew how to behave. He knew to remember what his father told him, and remembering about God. Being 20 years in Egypt, he didn't forget. He lived in his heart by God's law. He was very distinguished. And we know that Jacob gave him that role because Jacob knew that he is the one who has rights to be firstborn. 1 Chronicles 5:1. And the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's called his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Joseph got more than just the robe. He got the wisdom, which was more than other brothers. We remember his dreams. Bowing sheaves, Israel have to acknowledge Jesus. Sun and moon. And this is interesting. This is very interesting. What is in Genesis 37, 10, 11. And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth?" And his brethren invited him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Jacob has saying in his mind. Well, there is a one problem here. Shall I and thy mother and brethren bow ourselves to the earth? You know what's the problem? Rachel was dead during that time. She died once Benjamin was born. Why Jacob says father and mother? Brethren, I think it was in Israel's heart, in Jacob's heart, that he believed in ransom and resurrection for all. Maybe he didn't understand it, but he kept it in his heart. Another picture from the years of hunger. Picture of the millennial age. Do we know what happened during the years of hunger? Let's imagine that all the 7 years of prosperity, they gathered all that fifth part of it, and then years of hunger come. And we know how all of us, some better, some worse, are good with savings. People like spend whatever they earn right away. That's what Joseph knew about it. And he said, okay, give me fifth part of your earnings. Well, that was the order of Joseph. He was right next to the Pharaoh. They had to do it. And they knew it. Okay, they have food, so let's go there. And people of Egypt were coming in to Joseph. They were hungry. How many people right now are hungry of the God's word? It's not many. Very little. So they came. There will be that hunger in the millennial age. Hunger of the word of God. And they will be coming to Jesus. Give us that. Give us that bread. What they did first, they came in, okay, here's the money, we want to buy food. Okay, here's the money, here's the food, and they went away. But it was not just a few months, it was a few years. What happened then? Well, We are dying, Joseph. So what do we have? Well, we have our cattle. Our cattle is useless. We need food. Okay, so give me your cattle. Then there was not enough food. So they said, you know, Joseph, we have nothing. We are going to be your slave. And what Joseph said, you know what? If you have nothing, I'm going to sell you anything. It sounds like a today's businessman, but he gave them food. But now they sold themselves to Joseph. Brethren, everything will be under the reign of Christ. There will be hunger of God's word. And people will give everything to get God's word. What happened then? Once they were slaves of Joseph, everything belonged to Pharaoh. Then Joseph gave them seeds and requested the same fifth part of 20, which is 20% of their city. What was it? Not like we would see right now. I'm a master, you're a slave. Okay, so now 80% you'll give it to me and 20% to them. No. This is what Joseph says. And Joseph says unto people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land in Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. He gave him seed. There you go. And it shall come to pass that the inheritance that ye shall give fifth unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for a seed, for the field, and for your food, and for them of your household, and food for your little ones. Just fifth part. Same thing. So what changed? Nothing. They got food, they got seeds, and they still had to give the same amount of tax to the Pharaoh. But everything belongs to Pharaoh then. Genesis 47:20. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. Brethren, everything what Joseph was buying was not for himself. It was for the Pharaoh. And in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter and 27:28 we read, for he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he said all things are put in subjection, it's evident that he is accepted who did subject all things unto him. And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all. That's the end of millennial age, brethren. Once the world will come in harmony, and everything will be in harmony with God, the Lord Jesus will pass everything to his Father, and himself will be under God's rule. Brethren, closing about our lesson from Joseph. Brethren, children, learn as much as you can from that story. We should educate yourself to grow in favor of God and man, as Joseph and our Lord did. Remember fifth commandment and all other commandments, because as we learn, love God equals love brother. We shouldn't hate any others. Always say truth. Do not lie. Brethren, Satan is a liar from the beginning. John 8:44. Ye are of our father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's how heavy is lie. Do not lie. One of the commandments. What we can learn as a parents, as a brothers, do all you can to pass biggest treasure you have, truth, love, reverence to the Lord, quality of life, showing consequences of each behavior. Sacrifice our time to them and speak about the scriptures. Do not say it is too late. It's always something we can do and parents can do for their children. Never say, my job is done, because we will be gathering those fruits. Brethren, Joseph, our Lord, these are examples